Good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Van Merkel. We'll take you off care every Saturday, 11 to noon. It's great to be with you today. October 4th, beautiful sunshiny day out there. And I am Dr. Merkel. I've been right here behind this marvelous microphone for, let's see, how long have I been here? Over 40 years. Yeah, over 40 years behind this marvelous microphone. And it is truly an honor, blessing to be here. Our goal, our mission, our purpose is to help you be healthier. And not just have I been here in the Miami Valley for over 40 years. I've been behind this microphone for over 30 years. Yep, over 30 years right here. And it's truly a blessing. And anywhere you are, if you've got internet access, you got access to what's happening in Miami Valley. WHIO.com. And it's a great radio station, and it's so nice whenever I'm traveling, and I do travel a fair amount, I can log in and listen to the show. In fact, you can listen to these shows on Ask the Expert on WHIO, or actually this, my show, Take Two Healthcare, here every Saturday, 11 to noon. You can go to our website, take2healthcare.com, and listen to it, download. You can actually watch me. I'm actually recording this right now on my phone, so you can actually watch me do the show. How exciting is that? And but we got a great show for you today. I'm very excited. And I'd like to alert and invite to, if you have friends or family that are nurses, medical doctors, pediatricians, if they're professors at med school, nursing school, or anything like that, I would actually like your opinion on some of the things I'm going to present today. On vaccines, there's been a lot of stuff going on in MedPage and Medscape about the committee hearings, our government committee hearings on vaccines. And I reviewed it a couple weeks ago, and there's been more information. So I want to go over that, some of the new information we've got. But before we do that, also, if you're into psychology or child development, I'd like your take on this. And suppose you're a parent, or suppose you've got a baby just newly born, and you're an overly protective parent, and you want to make sure that baby has the easiest, less stressful life ever, and you don't want the child to ever get hurt or bruise a knee or be troubled in any way. And so you don't try and help that child learn to walk. In fact, you avoid, you try and keep the child in the crib, or keep them in these little things where they can do is just, they're just sitting, their legs around, they can scooch around on it, but they don't work because you're afraid they could fall down and bruise a knee. And so that's all that you never take them out of that, because you don't want them to fall down and bang their head or get hurt or anything. And it's steps. Oh my gosh. No, you can't let them around steps because they could fall down. If they climb all the way up and fall the way down on hard stairs, they could die. So we're definitely not going to let them walk on steps. And they may have a fragile ego and personality, and you don't want them to have a bruised ego or anything. So you're going to keep them away from another child because you want to make sure your child isn't bullied or picked on in any way. And so you just homeschool them. You don't have any other children because you want to protect that one children to maximum amount. And so you don't want any other stresses in that child's life, in that baby's life. In fact, just keep on baby food forever. You nurse them for 6 years. I think there are some countries that nurse baby, that women nurse their babies for 6 years. Seems kind of extreme, but anyway, they do nurse them for a long time. You just keep them on baby food because you're afraid that, well, if they start eating real meat and stuff, it could upset their little tummy, and you don't want to do that. And so you just always feed them baby food. Riding a bike, oh my gosh, they could fall over. So you don't teach them to ride a bike. You don't have them being around other kids because that could affect their ego. And, you want to protect their precious ego. Oh, and you don't put any of your own stuff on the child. You just let the child choose whatever they want. You let them do whatever they want. As long as it doesn't hurt them, physically hurt them, let them do whatever they want. You're not going to parent. You're not going to put your ideas on them because you just want them to develop into the person they're supposed to be. But you're not going to stress them. And so you're not going to let them be around other children because that could be stressful. Not going to let them play or go to preschool or things like that. You're going to homeschool them because it could be stressful. And they could be hurt. They could be bullied. But still, you're not going to you're going to avoid them from walking because they could fall down and bruise a knee. You're never going to let them walk the stairs because they could fall down and die. And you're not going to let them get on that gym equipment, you know, that playground equipment, because somebody could fall off a slide. They could fall down and hurt themselves. Well, that's kind of silly, isn't it? How's a child ever going to learn to grow, develop, deal with people, talk, have good development, good character if they don't deal with it? How are they ever going to learn about life if they never learn to fail? One of the things I remember when I had, when my girls were little, I heard a phrase, the hardest thing a parent has to do is to watch their child fail. To watch their child get hurt. And there's times where my daughters were doing things, okay, they're going to get bruised, they're going to bang up their knee or something like that. That's just part of life. Now, I could have told them, you know, yelled at them, but they learn. People learn best from experience. And as long as it's not a dangerous, life-threatening or life-injuring problem, just a little bruise, scrapes, you know, things like that, you got to let them do it. But what would that child be like if they were never challenged, if they were never allowed to fall down? How are you ever going to learn to walk if you don't fall down? How are you going to learn to ski if you don't fall down, or rollerblade, or roller skate if you don't fall down? You're going to fall down. That's life. You're going to fall down in many areas of life. Learning the English language, learning any language, you're going to bumble it up. You're going to get the wrong word. A baby is mumbling all the time. So what are you going to do? Never read to them, never teach them, because you don't want to damage the little psyche? Or are you going to be patient and read to them and let them babble back to you and that kind of thing, and let them interact with other children and things like that, even pets and things like that? What are you going to do? You see, the body is best able to learn to walk and grow and climb, learn music at a young age. In fact, whatever they're exposed to at a young age is probably what they're going to develop into as they're older. If you start a young child with music at a young age, listen to music, playing, they'll probably be musician and learn to play whatever instrument very well. An athlete, start them young. Chess, start them young, and they'll be better. Because there's something inherently unique about being young. Your brain is not formed, and so as these things develop, your brain, your coordination, your character, your temperament all develop. Now, there are some genetic aspects to it, like maybe you're from a tall family, okay? You're likely going to be tall. And if you want to be a gymnast, probably not going to work out very well. Conversely, if you're very short, being a pro basketball player probably isn't in your horizon. So there are some factors we have to take consideration. But basically, the more you challenge that child, the more you challenge them with athletics, with books and learning. And that's why we have the special classes for gifted learners, for children who have started early, and they probably truly did start early. There may be some natural giftedness there, but I'd say it's more the parents starting them on the road to being as smart as possible, to learning these things. Do you think it's a good thing to challenge children to physically get active, to be around other people, to do things, to be challenged as early as possible to develop? And we all hear, oh, my kid was talking at 6 months of age, you know, he was walking at 4 months, you know, you hear all these crazy things. And maybe some of these are close, but the children are designed to be challenged. They learn, they grow. And the more they learn, the younger they are when they start learning, the greater the capacity to learn is going to be. The more physically challenging that they are challenged, they will probably be able to do and learn physical things better than other children who are coddled and restricted. Same if they start learning games, chess, things like that. As you start that brain is able to learn and develop these skills when challenged, especially at a very, very young age. Children who are born, grown up in a bilingual or trilingual family, they naturally learn these languages very easily. That as adults, it takes us a lot of time to learn. For them, it's just natural. They learn it so much faster because that is the way nature is. Children are a blank slate. Their coordination, their mental ability, everything is a blank slate. And the more you help that child learn and grow, have them eat right, be healthy, guess what? They're going to be a better adult. Now, what happens if we do the same thing I said to that child? Never let that child grow up. Never let that child learn to walk. Never give them books to read. Never challenge them mentally with other personal development, being around other children. Suppose you never challenge them like that. Now, I know it's time for a break, and I want you to think just for this second here, what happens if you never challenge the immune system? It's time for a break. I'm going to blow your mind when we come back. This is Dr. Merkel at Take 2 Healthcare, every Saturday, 11 to noon. This is Dr. Merkel every Saturday, 11 to noon, 433-3241. That's our phone number, 433-3241. We'd love to help you with your health problems. If you want a true second opinion, that's who you call. In fact, we're health-oriented. And for virtually any health condition you have, there is a safe, natural solution. For virtually everyone. Now, obviously, if you had an accident and you broke a leg or you had a heart attack, you need to go to the emergency room. We have great emergency centers. But if you want to get healthy to where you don't need the drugs any longer, you want an option, a true health option, you need to come to us. And we are true experts in the Miami Valley. In fact, we've got Dr. Dyer and Dr. Yaley, marvelous doctors. And Dr. Dyer is board certified in acupuncture and clinical nutrition. And Dr. Yaley is certified in thermography. In fact, this month, there's a special sale on thermography. Women, there's a safe, painless, touchless breast scan that's used in many other countries, In fact, it's been in use here for over 50 years. And it will help to detect the conditions that can lead to cancer, I think up to 12 to 15 years before you actually get cancer. Yeah, there are signs. I'm not going to go into all the details about that. Contact your office, go online and read about thermography, the benefits you can get. And when you combine that with a blood test, you are really doing a great job on trying to maintain your overall health. And again, that is this month, the month of October. The number of call is 433-3241 or go online. Send an email and they'll get you set up and gone, and it'd be a good thing. I think every woman needs to get a base thermography, a baseline thermography, and then get it done every year. And if there's problems, well, then Dr. Yaley will tell you what to do, give you some ideas. In fact, she's got some good cases of problems showing up on a thermogram that could be cancer, could lead to cancer. And with the blood testing that we do, we've seen those things that could very well have led or developed into cancer drop significantly down into a safe area. So is it better to wait till you have cancer, like shows up on a mammogram, or avoid it and prevent it? Mammogram is early detection, not prevention. With thermography and a blood testing, we can help you prevent these situations from developing. So that is, obviously, that's what we recommend you do, thermography. And 433-3241. And on MedPage, the thing on vaccines is just they're going apoplectic about people are not getting vaccinated since the COVID. Parents, people are not getting their flu shots. They're not getting their children vaccinated like has been done. And there's been several articles and things on MedPage, Medscape, that discusses this. And it really got started at there's a finance meeting and other government meetings on a study that came out and showed that there are major problems with vaccines. In fact, there are so many problems with vaccines that people are not getting vaccinated. Now, the measles is one we've heard about. And so I just looked up, just at the break here, how many people do you think have died this year from measles? How many people this year have died from measles? How many? Any idea? It's three. Three. And there have been 1,544 confirmed measles cases reported in the United States, in several states. And of those 1,544, 21 were from people from out of the country. And so there it is, measles. Now, their concern is going to go up into the hundreds of thousands and people are going to die and that kind of thing. Well, on one of the articles here that they're bringing up, and this was from October 2nd, they did state, which they usually ignore this part, and this doctor says, who led the CDC National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases, Dimitri Daskalakis, something like that. And he does say, and I'm glad they at least finally admit this, while it's true that measles deaths began falling in the U.S. after 1900, due to a combination of improved living conditions and better medical care, but basically it was due to clean water, sanitation, refrigeration. But so many of these diseases are diseases of filth. And if you go back to CDC, like this doctor did, at least he's honest, he said, yeah, these were falling back in the 1900s, long before vaccines came around. In fact, if you look at the CDC data, you'll find that these deaths and disease from these commonly vaccinated diseases had already dropped 90% before the around 90% before the vaccine ever came around. So they only show you, typically they only show you after it's already dropped 90%, then they show the 10% as this huge number, 10%. And then with the vaccine, they got it down to, zero or something like that. And so they only pay attention. Well, look what vaccines did. It got it down the rest of the way to zero. It had already been down 90%, and now it's down to that extra. So people, measles and mumps and all those things, chicken pox, polio, those things had already declined long before the vaccine ever came around. That's true. Polio had declined dramatically before the vaccine ever came around because these are diseases of filth. And not having good sanitation, like I said, what's done more for us health-wise is the people that make sure we have clean water, that we have toilets that flush and take care of things that way, and we have refrigeration. And we also have things like Band-Aids and stuff like that to and alcohol. We know how to take care of cuts and scrapes and bruises and things like that. But as far as the vaccines, have they really helped? I know it's time for a break here, because I've got that. What I'm going to do here is going to take me a few minutes to get through all the details I want to share with you. But this next part can probably change your life and how you think about things. We're going to talk about the flu shot. Should you get it? How effective is it? We're also going to compare if you get the vaccines versus not getting the vaccines, and what are the possible ramifications. You're listening to Dr. Merkel with Take-Two Healthcare. We'll be right back after this. And we're back. This is Dr. Merkel with Take-Two Healthcare. Every Saturday, 11 to noon, 433-3241 is 433-3241. And I am referencing a Senate hearing debate reported September 17th, 2025. And it was about an unpublished vaccination study. And this is reported, basically, the study was done in 2020, but was never submitted for publication. The doctors who were involved with it argued the study was not submitted because the authors feared for their jobs if it was published. Wow. Yeah, these are medical doctors and researchers here in the U.S., universities. And so they didn't publish it for 5 years because they feared for their life, for their job. And so it was basically, here's the guts of the study. Among the unvaccinated group, There was zero brain dysfunction, zero diabetes, zero behavioral problems, zero learning disabilities, zero intellectual disabilities, zero tics, zero intellectual problems. And they go on to say the vaccinated children had the key problem of the study. Jake Scott, medical doctor, said, is the vaccinated children had twice the follow-up time, substantially more healthcare visits than unvaccinated children. My comments, well, yeah, because they were sicker. Okay. There is a reference where they got the actual data from these doctors, and it's been it's published, and I've got it here in front of me. Let me give you the details. Vaccinated versus unvaccinated. If you are vaccinated, you have 30 times more chronic health conditions. If you are vaccinated, you have 55 times more incidence of asthma, 100 times more autoimmune disease. It was 201 cases to 2 for the unvaccinated, 201 to 2. That's 100 times higher autoimmune disease like MS, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's, all those things, ALS, 100 times higher if you're vaccinated. Brain dysfunction, 8%. Cancer, 13 times higher, 169 cases versus 13. Diabetes, 42 to 0. Food allergies, 20 times higher. Mental health disorders, 68 times higher, 341 to 5. Neurodevelopmental disorders, 1,029 to 9. ADHD, listen to this, ADHD, 262. If you're vaccinated, 0 if you're unvaccinated. Autism, 23 to 1. Oh, my gosh. How about seizures? 319 to 12. Now, okay, getting the measles is bad. But you know something? I got the measles. I'm 68. Everybody my age got the measles, mumps, and chicken pox. You know, that's no big deal. Okay, you felt bad for a few days. Best thing about it was you got off school. Okay, you felt bad. Big deal. I would rather feel bad for having to miss a week for measles, mumps, and chicken pox than have a lifetime of autoimmune disease. 100 times greater risk of autoimmune disease, which lasts a lifetime, versus a little inconvenience, feeling a little bit bad, getting mumps, measles, and chicken pox as a child. What do you think? Letting your child get mumps, measles, and chicken pox, whooping cough, because then they have lifetime immunity if they get it naturally. I checked my immunoglobulins, and mine are off the chart for measles, mumps, and chickenpox because I got it naturally. Vaccines, immunity from a vaccine wanes. It gets less the older you get. And that's why they want people to get boosters when you go to college, when you go to different things. They want you to get boosters because the vaccine loses its effectiveness. But when you get it naturally, you're good forever. And here's something else. Remember how I said at the beginning of the radio show about if you never let the child struggle, if you never let them fall down, they're never going to learn to walk. Same with your immune system. Your immune system, baby's immune system, are designed to learn how to fight disease. A baby, a very young baby, an infant just a few days old, has an immune system. It's virtually non-detectable. But as it gets exposed to things, measles, mumps, it supercharges, it programs your body's ability to learn to fight disease. It learns to fight disease. And you have to let the baby, the child, get sick so they can develop a strong, robust immune system that lasts a lifetime. Because if they don't get a strong, robust immune system, guess what they're going to get? Autoimmune disease, asthma, atopic, inflammatory disease, chronic health care. They're going to get cancer, diabetes, ADHD, because you didn't allow that body to develop properly. It has worked for 1,000 years. Sure, before we had clean water, there were more deaths, but those had declined by 90%. And so what they're saying is here, where is it? Where is it? One of the doctors trying to say is, well, people get sick and they feel bad. If they take a vaccine, they don't get sick and feel bad. No, they get cancer. Yeah, they don't get sick and feel bad. They get diabetes. They get autoimmune disease. But at least they didn't get measles and mumps and feel bad for 3 or 4 days. And mom and dad had to miss work to take care of them. Yeah, at least they didn't feel bad for those few days. Of course, they got cancer and seizures and behavioral learning disabilities, speech disorders, food allergies, but at least they didn't feel bad for 3 days getting the measles and mumps and that kind of thing. Yeah, that's good. You know, same thing with the flu shot. The flu shot, let's see. I got the latest on the flu shot here. Let me see if I can find it. Flu shot. Where is it? I can't find it right now, and I don't want to waste a lot of time. But one of the medical doctors commented in MedPage that the flu shot isn't worth getting this year. Basically, it's what he said. It's 50-50. He said it's not worth even getting this year. Well, one of the doctors, and I wish I could find it. A couple of doctors were moaning, "Oh, I got the flu, and I felt like I wanted to die. I was praying to die." We have the weakest, wimpiest people here in this country. Any least little bit of discomfort, and we think we're going to die. And we think we need to go see a doctor for every little ache and pain and that kind of thing. We are so, so weak mentally and physically. It is disgusting. I hear people whine and complain about stuff that other people in other countries, they buck it up and deal with it. But maybe part of this disability we have of not being able to deal with things because our immune system, our brain hasn't developed, because we have doctors and parents that are so overprotective, they never learn to develop a backbone. They never learn to deal with pain and discomfort. But I can't believe, you know, these medical, "Oh, I felt so bad, I wanted to die, prayed to die for 3 days." Give me a break. That is so wimpy. That is so ridiculous. And so all these doctors, pediatricians, would you rather let child get measles, mumps, chicken pox, which I got naturally, where I'm uncomfortable for 3 or 4 days, or put the children, your patients, in a very high risk of getting, and which are people more likely to die from, measles or cancer? Mumps or diabetes? Seizure disorder. What do you think they're more likely to die from and affect them the rest of their life? Measles, mumps? No, not at all. In fact, there was a study. There was an article came out, and it was on longevity. They talked about the oldest person that died. Where is that? The most extreme lifespan. Here it is. This lady died. When she was, how old was she? 117 years of age. This lady lived to be 117 years of age. And this was, where was this printed? It was in a contact our office, and they didn't get you the details on this, but this will be online. But they observed the super septuagenarian exhibited the shortest telomere length, and they did a lot of genetic studies on her and those kind of things. And there's all kinds of interesting things they found in the genetics of this lady. They said, wow, her telomeres are small. Maybe that's why she didn't get cancer. And cancer is a leading cause of death in the United States. And so looking at rare genetic traits that could have caused this lady to live such a long life. Now, one thing they didn't say is what quality of life did she have? How was her mentation? But what was her life like? Well, first of all, at 117, I guarantee you, she got very few vaccines because they didn't have them back then. And they also didn't have all the fast food, McDonald's, all the crap we do today, but I guarantee they didn't have all the vaccines. And so just because she didn't have the vaccines, her risk of cancer, diabetes, autoimmune disease, seizures, neurological disorders, all those went, in some cases, down to zero because she didn't get vaccinated. She wasn't on drugs for every little thing, for a little upset stomach, for a little headache. She wasn't on drugs because they didn't have them back then. So she learned to be tougher. They didn't have the junk food. What was her social order like? Was she sitting, what was her social life like? Was she sitting watching TV all day? Was she on her phone, texting and emailing everybody? Or was she having a life, working with people, having family, going to church, these social things? I think what she chose to do in her own life, or people chose for her, she didn't get the vaccine, so her immune system is more robust. And I believe, because I got very few vaccines, and actually, I was born and grew up before the time of Roundup and these other pesticides and herbicides. So I have a more robust gut and system, because my body in the early development stage, where my body was learning to fight disease, it was learning to regulate itself, where it was learning to be as optimal as possible. It wasn't distracted by tons of vaccines. It wasn't distracted by Roundup and all these other chemicals. And for us, it may sound funny, McDonald's was a treat that we got maybe once every 2 weeks. And ice cream, we go to the dairy barn, you know, maybe once a month and get an ice cream. So those were treats. That's not what we ate most of it all the time, because it just wasn't around. We didn't have the money. We lived out on a farm. But would you rather, parents, medical doctors, students, what do you think? Would it be better if your patients took the risk of getting mumps, measles, chicken pox, these childhood diseases? Because, heck, we can give them a few vitamins and boost their immune system so they have a good response. So that they're going to get through it okay, and they'll be fine. 99.9% of them will be fine. When I was growing up, you never heard of a kid dying from measles, mumps, rubella, and all those other things. Chicken pox. No one ever died. They all got sick. Yeah, we all got sick. Big deal. But I believe that's why we're, that my age is 68. I am less at risk of getting cancer than a 30-year-old. Absolutely true. And I've reported that cancers are reaching younger and younger ages that used to only be for the oldest people. The odds of me getting cancer, people my age getting cancer, is less than a 30-year-old. We're doing something wrong. We're on the wrong path. Now, I know if you want to take the typical medical route and get your shots, good luck. But here's what your life, if you're going to do this for your kids, is what they're looking at. Chronic health conditions, 30 times higher if they're vaccinated. Asthma, 55 times higher. Autoimmune diseases. How many people have autoimmune disease? Lupus, MS, rheumatoid arthritis, ALS, Crohn's, psoriasis. 100 times higher if they get any vaccine. And I should say, let me read that. The study says any vaccine, flu shot, pneumonia shot, all these things increase your risk of all of these diseases. Cancer, 169 to 13. Diabetes, 42 to zero. What would you think? Getting a little flu for a few days, or developing an autoimmune disease? You're listening to Dr. Merkel. Take 12. I guess it's time for a break. We'll be right back after. And we're back. This is Dr. Merkel every Saturday, 11 to noon, 433-3241. So here's the question. Would you rather take a flu shot that some medical doctors think is useless this year, or take the flu shot in the chance that it may help, you know, 20, 40, 50%, whatever, but it would increase your risk of an autoimmune disease by 100 times? What do you think? Would you rather take a risk of getting the flu and dealing with the flu, or getting a 100 times greater risk of getting an autoimmune disease? 13 times risk of getting cancer after any vaccine. Seizures after any vaccine. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think? I think people are living in the United States, we're 49th in longevity. 49th. In longevity. And yet we take more vaccines for our children and infants than anywhere else. We have more vaccines for our adults. We take more drugs per capita than anywhere else in the world. And according to a study, the top 10 countries in the world, as far as healthcare outcomes, United States, our healthcare system, United States, is dead last. And the word they used in the study was an outlier, because we are so far behind the top nine. So, if you want to know where you're at, you ought to get tested. And that's what we do at our clinic, Take Two Healthcare. We don't guess about your health. We're going to see, are there some weaknesses? are there some things you can do? When COVID came around, we had a lot of people come in to get tested. We'd say, okay, here's what you need to do. You're a little bit low in D. You need a little more vitamin C. You need a little more this or that because you're weak in it, or you're a little bit anemic. You need to do this. But we tested people to see exactly what they needed to do. And if you'd like to avoid disease, I haven't been vaccinated for anything in years, not since I was a child. I only had just a couple of vaccines back then. And I think that's why I'm so healthy now, because I make better choices. I don't get vaccinated. Absolutely don't get the COVID vaccine. A buddy I work out with, he said, you know, he never had this arrhythmia and chest pain until he got the COVID shot. And he's pretty sure it's a COVID shot. But will anybody acknowledge that, recognize it, or accept it? No. No. And so, you know, take your shots, or if you want to take responsibility for your health, that's where we come in. We'll help you be healthy. We'll give you guidance. We'll give you guidelines based on objective facts. We'll test you, see where you're at. Because even if you have these conditions I talked about here, autoimmune disease, diabetes, allergies, things like that, we've had these people go into remission. And I've said many times on the radio show, even serious problems sometimes have simple, safe solutions. Yeah, we've had people with stage 4 cancers go into remission. Incredibly. Even I'm amazed. Yeah, I present these at medical cancer conferences, and they're amazed too. They've never seen cases like I do. Now, if you've got cancer, MS, lupus, or any autoimmune disease, I don't have a cure. But if you get healthy enough, doesn't matter the name of the disease. That's it. I don't cure anything, but if you get healthy enough, see, I believe your body can take two cells to become one, that one cell grow to the body you have. It puts the eyes in the front, the ears on the side, and the fingers on the end of the hand. I think it can probably heal and repair itself, virtually everything else, if we're willing to do what it takes. If we're willing to take responsibility for our own health. Or if you want to be lazy and let a medical doctor take care of you. I feel sorry for medical doctors, because they have trained the patients, trained us to be, pardon me, stupid. That we don't put any, we want to be able to do whatever we want and not take any responsibility or accountability for our health problem. Oh yeah, I want to be able to drink whatever I want. I want to be able to eat junk food. I don't care if I get fat or not. I want to smoke and do whatever I want. When I get sick, you have to take care of me, because I'm not changing my habits. And so doctors are in a no-win situation. For symptom relief, they need drugs, but they know that patient's never going to get better, because the patient is weak-minded. They're not willing to take responsibility that they have the health problems they have because of the choices that that patient has made. Now, okay, medical doctor makes a lot of money on disease. If you want to get well, that's where you come to somebody like us, because drugs are not going to make you get well. Only your body has ability to heal, repair, and regenerate. All the drugs for cancer, they don't heal anything. All they do is destroy the disease, and hopefully they don't destroy you in the process. Autoimmune disease suppresses the symptom with the hope that it doesn't destroy your liver and kidneys in the process or give you cancer. So it's time for you to take responsibility. Take vaccines and increase your risk. Give your kids vaccines. Increase the risk of autoimmune disease by 100 times. This is serious stuff, because these diseases I'm telling you about are rampant in children. And that's why I said cancer, if you're 30, you're more likely to get cancer than I am, and I'm 68. Because of what we're doing, all the drugs we're doing, all things we're doing, vaccines. I think vaccines in children alters the normal ability to develop a strong immune system. It's going to help you fight anything as you get later on. When COVID came around, I wasn't worried, because I got a strong immune system. It was allowed to develop properly. So what are you doing with your health? If you want to get better, if you want to check yourself, check the score, that's what we do. Contact us at 433-3241. We'd love to check the score. Don't wait till a game's about over to see where you're at. That's what we do. See, I'm Dr. Merkel. Every Saturday, 11 to noon, we're here to help you be healthier. Do something today to be healthier than you were yesterday. Take a walk, call a friend, call us for an appointment. By the way, go to church tomorrow.